Redemption, the act, process, or an instance of redeeming. Redeem, to buy back, repurchase, restore, reform, repair. To remove the obligation of payment, to exchange for something of value. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7.
Broken and poured out for the love of his creation, God prayed and did that he didn't know.
Well, thanks for joining us for another edition of Redemption. Just so glad that you folks have joined us for these past few weeks as this show gets kicked off. I really feel that this is a show that will bless so many people, because we get to hear actual, you know, testimonies from people that are like me and like you, and you know, they're just the everyday folks. And I just appreciate so much that people are willing to share. And my prayer is that people in the listening audience would be encouraged, they would be strengthened, their relationship with the Lord would go deeper, and those that don't know who He is would see that, you know, they may have some similarities in their story that attracts them to Him. And that is the prayer for sure. We want people to come to know who Christ is, to enter into a relationship with Him, and hopefully these stories will help that out. So today, without further ado, I have an excellent guest with me, Joanne D. Herrera. Joanne, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Doing great. Thank you for taking some time out. Joanne is on a farm in Central Cal, and we're going to hear a little bit about that. But Joanne and I got hooked up, like so many people so far, through, you know, this social networking. How do you, you know, you get to start meeting people all over the world through social networking that are anxious to share what God has given them. And that's a testimony of how they came into a relationship with Him. And Joanne, you agreed to do that with us today, and I'm so thankful.
Oh, you're welcome.
So I want to get into a little bit about who you are first and where you come from and everything. And we'll get into the farm thing later on. But, and I say that only because you just shared a little bit of that story with me. And it's a great testimony to how God provides. And I do want to get into that. But tell me about where you come from. Tell me about where you grew up and how this all started for you.
Well, I'm originally from North Highlands, California. I went to a very rough high school, Highlands High School. I dropped out at the age of 16. My parents abused me greatly. I got emancipated in the state of California. I had two full-time jobs, and moved out, legally divorced my parents, actually, and it was granted by the judge. Moved out of the house and had my own apartment, and been living, doing what I was supposed to be doing. Got into drugs, of course, a little bit of alcohol. Got married to a man who was abusive and who also did drugs and alcohol. Went to Colorado Springs, Colorado with this man. We ended up getting divorced. And after the divorce, I started working at a bar. In that bar, there was a lot of cocaine, a lot of drugs, a lot of usage of such items. I did a little bit of it, although something was tugging at my heart. I wasn't quite sure what was going on. And during that time, in the apartment that I lived in, lady to the right of me was Jehovah Witness, guy to the left of me was Baptist, and the lady across the street was a hardcore Pentecostal woman. Now, during this time, every single neighbor kept coming up to me during periodics of time, asking me about the Lord. So I was confused. I didn't know Jesus at all. I had no idea who this Jesus, who this God was. No clue. I was raised atheist. So, the Pentecostal woman one day came by and just was really, really in my face about it, almost to the point of I wanted to slam the door on her.
Right.
She was just too much for me at that time. But what I understood later on in life is that the seed was planted. I just didn't realize it at the time. And that's what it took for me at that time, my personal relationship with God. So I went to work one night. There's two sides of the bar. I worked one side, another woman worked another. In this bar, because of the mindset, I was not allowed to go to her side. She was not allowed to go to my side. That's just how it was.
Hmm.
So before work, I said, okay, God, if you're really there, you need to prove it to me tonight. This is it. I've had it. I'm tired of listening to these people. If you're real, you've got to show me now. You've got to do it. Okay, so a gentleman comes in. I go to the other side of the bar. The other woman's, right? Uh-oh, right? Could have been a fight. There could have been a fight. I go to go up to this man. He's sitting there. He's at the bar. He's drinking a near beer, and I didn't know it. Now, he's drinking his beer that I thought, and I said, okay. I said, hi, sir, how are you? And he's, I'm okay, how are you doing? I go, well, I'm a little confused. Do you know who God is and this guy Jesus? And he said, well, yes, I do. I know him very well. And I said, well, I have a question for you. Do you believe in sex before marriage? So all of a sudden, he stands up, and he pulls out a little New Testament pocket Bible out of his pocket, and he slams it on the bar, and he starts preaching very, very loudly. For about 15 minutes, nobody said a word.
Wow.
He was done. He finished his near beer. Now, all this time, I'm thinking he's drinking a beer.
Right.
Okay, so now he puts his Bible back in his pocket, and he walks outside. This is about 1:30 in the morning. 2 o'clock in the morning, I go out to my car. My car doesn't start. Guess who's there? This guy. His name's Jeff. He said, you need a ride home? I go, what did you do? Sabotage my car? He said, no, I went home, and the Lord told me to go back that you needed a ride home. I figured, well, I have nothing to lose. You know, if he's a psycho, I'll die tonight. If he really is of the Lord, then whatever. I had nothing to lose. So he gave me a ride home. And talk to me about the Lord Jesus Christ. I listened a little bit. He sang me a few songs by this woman, Evie Thornquist. Sang me 2 songs, and he asked me if I had any questions. I said no. He left. Okay. During that time, I go and I buy a metaphysical book. It's like the Bible of metaphysics. Because I'm trying to explore life. I'm trying to find out who I am. I'm trying to find out who this God was. I didn't know where to look.
Right.
So now I'm at this metaphysical bookstore. I buy the most expensive, the sickest book I can find. I'm sitting down. Okay, now this is like about a month later. I'm sitting down. I got my tea. I got a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I think, at the time. I put my feet up in my little tiny apartment, and I'm about ready to open the book. As soon as I opened the book, I had a knock at the door. And I said, my goodness, who is this? You know, I mean, they're disrupting me. I had a very bad attitude back then. So I really did. I had a chip on my shoulder. So I walked around. Now, during the front door, there's like this big, huge wall. Behind that wall is where I was sitting at the kitchen table. Then there's another wall, and then on top, and then there's a refrigerator. And so I put that book on top of the refrigerator because I didn't want anyone to know that I was reading it. I opened the door, and this man, Jeff, and I hope he's listening to you now because I would really like to contact him one day. He said to me, he said, are you ready to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I said, no, are you nuts? I still don't even know who you're talking about. I'm extremely vocal. I always have been. He said, if I get that book of the devil that you just put on top of your refrigerator. Now, I lived on the 3rd floor in an apartment complex. And if I get it, will you at least listen? I said, I promise you, I'll listen to anything you have to say if you find that book. He walked into my house, went around the wall, went around the second part of the wall, got on top of my refrigerator, and he said, are you ready to give your life to Jesus Christ? I said, I didn't promise you that. I promised you I'd listen. So he sat there. Oh, my goodness. This was around noon, maybe 1 o'clock. I think it was more at 1. We talked until the sun went down. When the sun went down, I was ready to give my heart to Jesus Christ. I was ready. So we get into his, well, first he said, we have to burn everything that is not of God. I had pot there. I had a lot of stuff. I had Bridget Bardot boots. I used to wear mini skirts. You know, you know, you name it, roaches, all kinds of stupid stuff.
Sure.
So he gathered all my DVDs, or VHSs at the time, right? My VHSs, my tapes, my clothes, you name it. He about wiped me out of my apartment. We put everything in his van. We went to his house where his wife and three kids were sleeping. And I just put my total trust in this guy. And we burned everything. And as we were burning it, he asked me to say the sinner's prayer and, you know, ask God for forgiveness and to accept him into my heart and, you know, the whole thing. And I did that. So I went home about 3 o'clock in the morning. It must have been 4 by then. He brought me home. I had the best night's sleep I had ever had in my entire life. Hmm. When I woke up, I was literally born again. The sky looked bluer. The grass looked greener. Babies looked angelic. Hmm. Everything was literally anew. Trees didn't look like a tree anymore. They looked like oxygen for my soul. In fact, I remember staring out at the tree in the front, in the down below, because I lived on the third floor. And I'm looking down below, there's a big old tree, and I could almost see the oxygen coming out of it. I was in awe. I was born again. Hmm. Like I had just came out of my mother's womb. It was incredible. And so for the first 4 months, all I could do when I got home from work was stare out that window, look at the clouds, and cry. God was working in me. All I could do was cry and cry and cry. And I talked to him and I begged him and, oh, you name it. It was beautiful. It was fantastic. I still haven't gone to church at this time. I still haven't had a Bible study at this time.
Right.
So I said, Lord, okay, I need a Bible. It's been a few months. I need a Bible. And I had a little little pamphlet underneath my door the day I prayed that. It was to a Bible study. Huh. And it was there at the apartment complex, and that's how that got started, and went to the Bible study, and then ended up going to church. Their church went under. And I went to another church. Their church went under, you know, so on and so forth. Then at one church I was going to, that I was attending all the time, they invited me to do a missions trip to Mexico. So I went to be a missionary in Mexico, then in more states in the country of Mexico than I have my own country. Huh. I was in the Salvas, I was in the jungles of Chiapas, Ocosingo, Damasco, you name it. So if any of your listeners have been there, you know, they would know that I had to dig my own hole for the toilet. I had to take tail bucket showers. I had to kill my own chickens. I mean, they will know. They'll understand this.
Sure.
So it was really rough, and I was really upset. And I remember standing in the jungles of Chiapas, you know, stomping my feet, going, God, why are you doing this to me? I thought you loved me. Don't you love me? Oh, I was upset. Okay. So now I'm coming home. God calls me to do this and this. He asked me to go to the Bible college, a Bible college. I said, okay. So went to the Nazarene Bible College. The door opened right up. Received my bachelor's degree in leadership and ethics from the Nazarene Bible College. And now I'm going to the University of Phoenix, trying to obtain my master's degree in organizational psychology.
Hmm.
And so during all of this, of course, got married to a wonderful Christian man. We had a large business in Colorado Springs, Colorado. We moved from Colorado Springs to Florida, from Florida back to California. Now, here's the kicker. I come back to California. I open the keys to my new rental house that I found on the internet. That's why I love social media so much. You could get anything on the internet, literally. Right. So I'm opening the door, and my husband says, happy birthday. Wow. 22 years from the date that I originally left my mother and father's house, I moved back into California.
Huh.
3 days later, my mother calls me, the one who beat me, the one who was atheist, the one who really was just the spawn of Satan herself. She calls me up out of the blue saying she's sorry for everything she's ever done to me in my life.
Wow.
I said, you're kidding. God had a heart attack. And so a year later, she falls. This was in 2006. In 2007, she falls. She's uncompliant and with the nurses, and she came to live with me and my husband in our rental home in Visalia, California. And for 3 years, I tried to get her saved. I talked to her. I've had priests, pastors, deacons, chaplains, you name it. I had them all come. Huh. Now, I mean, I was like, something's got to give here. And 4 days before she passed away, I had one last hope. I called a chaplain from a non-denominational church. I said, please, I really feel my mother's going to die soon, although it's not concrete yet. You know, hospice isn't in the house yet, but I really feel she's going to die. Yeah. You know, I feel it in my soul and my spirit. He comes out within a half an hour. Wonderful pastor, Pastor Brian. He comes out. What happens? He gets her saved. I was crying, of course, you know, and so on and so forth. And it was just extremely emotional. And I said, he left. And I said, Mom, what's the one thing you regret? One thing, the number one thing you regret. She goes, I regret that I didn't come to Jesus Christ sooner. And I hope he forgives me for that. Hmm. And she was 88 years old the day she said that. So he did. She passed away 4 days later. But really, the kicker is that the day before she died, she said to me, I wished I would have beat you more as a child. And here I thought she was saved. So, and I really still think she was. I think that the devil, it's kind of like if the devil is happy, then you're not doing the right thing by God. If God's happy, then the devil's mad. And it seemed like there was this huge spiritual battle, especially the last 4 days of her life, that was extremely intense in my household. All around my property, I mean, you name it. I mean, doves and crows were fighting in front of our window. We've heard weird noises. We heard snarling and growling. And at that time, we were in a neighborhood that would not have coyotes, that would not have wolves. Where I live now, yes, but not then. So I didn't really, you know, it was a spiritual battle going on. And so she did. She passed away. And I wrote on my blog the day she was dying. I mean, that's really about it. And now we live here on a farm in Central Valley. Had an interview with a lot of different people, and one gentleman had called me a month later. I was trying to take care of his elderly mother, and said, I heard in your interview that your husband was raised on a farm. I said, yes. And he invited us to look at his house and look at his property. And so we live in his house, and my husband works 110 acres of this gentleman's property, and it is an orchard farm. It has many, many wonderful things, but it also has a lot of dangerous things. So I'm trying to get used to it. My husband's happy. He's playing in the mud. It's like a little 10-year-old playing in the mud. I mean, he's happy. He's an architect, and he's just really, really happy. Well, he lost a lot of family members in his life in the last 4 years, and I think, you know, I really believe in my heart that God had brought us out here for him to heal,
right,
to get back to nature, to use his hands, to plant, to do the things that make him calm. Now, although it's stressing me out to the hill, I see that my husband is actually getting the monkey off his back. I see daily that he's getting more content, more happy, more peaceful with the Lord and with his own life. And so I know that if this is all for him, then I'm perfectly, you know, fine with it.
Right.
Because he's my soulmate. He's my life mate. So even though I don't like it, but, you know, I'm not happy. But, you know, whatever. I'm happy if he's happy, right?
That's up to you.
Well, Well, yeah, that's true, because he is, you know, he's done things that made him miserable as far as my life's concerned. I used to be a pastor at Chadbourne Gospel Mission Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and I asked him to be the youth pastor, and he didn't want to do it, but he did it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a give and take through marriage. It's a give
that's
and
right.
take.
That's right. Yeah, that's right, for sure.
That's how you're going to make it.
Right. Well, awesome. So now you're working away. You said you're out tending to chickens occasionally.
Occasionally, daily. Let's see. There's we take care of the chickens. We gather the chicken eggs. There's horses. I've never seen a horse in my life when I came out here, and one bolted towards me like, oh, she's fun to play with or kill. I wasn't sure which one it was. So I ran and screaming and crying. Oh, he's gonna hurt me, and that was fun. But it turned out to be the most beautiful, gentle, sweet horse on the planet. And his mate is Crystal, another horse. Goats, I think it was the second day we're out here, the owner had asked us to look at the goat's hoof. And my husband, you know, and I are trying to get this goat. And it's, you know, 100 degrees outside.
Yeah.
I'm not appropriately dressed at all because I told you I'm a city gal. I like my nails done and my hair just right and makeup. And I like my high heels. And, you know, I like to look like a female. And so I'm not appropriately dressed. I'm out in the middle of their pasture. I'm trying to catch this goat. I'm getting really, really, really aggravated. So I grabbed a broom and I said, that's it. It's me or you, goat, and it's going to be you. Let's go. We got the goat and we took care of its hoof and it's fine. And it ran away just happy as all get out. So my husband kind of looked at me like, wow, I never saw a sight of you. I said, well, see a city girl hot and frustrated, and this is what happens. So, you know, they get a little upset, and this darn thing broke my nail. Now it's really going to get it, you know. So it was fun. Every day's a new adventure. There's olives here and oranges and pomelos. And, you know, I'm outside now, and I'm looking straight ahead, and I say 20 feet. That's it, just 20 feet. There starts the orange groves. So when I look around, I do a 360 view. I see nothing but groves, nothing.
Wow.
One house that's empty. So I see one house that's empty that they own, the people here own. And so, yeah, it's scary. It's really, really frightening. One night my husband, I heard this like, I don't know what it was. I thought, oh, what a cute noise. And my husband's like, get in the house now and go grab my gun. Like, we have a gun? What is that noise? You know, I mean, I'm just so baffled here. I'm just so baffled. And although I did missionary work in Mexico and we were in the jungles, it's different. But when I first got here, I thought, wow, is God setting my husband up and me to go back to Mexico? We don't have children.
Hmm.
So, I mean, that's the first instinct, is the smells here, just the actual what I see here. It's really similar to Mexico in the parts that I've been to, with the chickens and the cows and the, you know, the horses and, you know, and a partridge and a pear tree. I mean, really, there's so many animals here. So I'm thinking perhaps, I don't know. I don't know what the next move is. But I know that there's something here that we need to learn or we need to do, and primarily is to help the people who own this land, is to help them out, you know, is to help them. And they're Christian and they're lovely people. They're wonderful.
It's a great blessing for both parties. You know, you guys have the home and this experience, and they have someone that they can trust to take care of it. You got to tell me, you left me hanging. What was the animal?
What was that?
The animal. When your husband said, go get the gun, what was the animal?
Oh, it was a coyote.
Oh, okay.
It was a pack of them. So okay. Apparently they run in packs, and there are a pack of wild dogs here as well.
Ooh.
And they live not too far from where I'm at. And apparently from what we hear through the grapevines that they're starting to attack the cows. So everyone's kind of on alert here, and if you see them, you have to kill them because we have to protect everybody else.
Right.
They protect us, we protect them, you know, so on and so forth. And, it's been really... I saw something weird the other day. I saw a squirrel run down a tree, and then I saw some really weird, fat-looking, short, strange-looking animal. I was like, I wanted to chase and go, what is that?
Right.
But I've learned here, you know, don't go down these orchards without a gun. You know, just don't, or your cell phone, your gun, something. You just don't do it.
Wow.
Like our rooster, he was taken yesterday. We bought a beautiful, beautiful white rooster. Oh, gosh. So just a really gorgeous animal. And he was taken the same day we got him by a sneaky little something. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a wolf, a coyote. We don't know what it is.
Right.
And feathers were everywhere, and I wanted to go look for the rooster. My husband was working, of course. He's out there somewhere. And so I take my basset hound, Yogi, and we're walking, and, you know, and then I hang a left, and then I hang a right, and I hang a left. And I'm not lost yet, you know, but I know that if I go any further, I will be lost, and then I will be in trouble. So I look for my cell phone. I went, oh, I forgot my cell phone. I went, boy, that was stupid. You know, if I did get lost or hurt, right?
Right.
So then I turn the corner, and there's all bunch of feathers everywhere. I mean, everywhere. So I knew something large had gotten to this rooster. The rooster was huge. So I grabbed my basset hound, who's 15 years old and who's arthritic, and I literally dragged him home, and we ran.
Huh.
By the time I got to the house, my poor dog was like, I'm like, I'm sorry, Yogi. You know? But I had to because it scared me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so last night, I really did learn. Yesterday afternoon, I learned, do not go out here by yourself. That's just a given. I won't do it again.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, you stay safe out there. Thank you for thanks for telling us about you and letting us get to know you a little bit. We'll keep in contact through the website. We've got, you know, the various social networking, LinkedIn, and we haven't connected on Facebook, but, you know, there's all these ways that we can connect, and our listeners can look you up on LinkedIn, and certainly through our forum, through the blogs and everything, people can connect that way too.
Sure, they can contact me through Twitter or through my Biblical Studies web blog, which is www.biblicalstudiesandmore.blogspot.com. I've been writing on there for the past 4 years.
Oh, cool.
If they have any questions or they have comments or anything at all, if they have a biblical question, you know, have them email me right from the site. And I know a lot of professors from the Nazarene Bible College and other colleges, Rebecca. So if I don't have the answer, I'll find it for them.
Yeah, say that website again. Tell us the website again.
www.biblicalstudiesandmore, all one word, together, biblicalstudiesandmore.blogspot.com.
Wonderful.
And then they can find my link in it in my Twitter account straight from there. And really, if they have any questions at all, or if Jeff is listening, I hope he is, because you're from Colorado, and that's where I got saved, is Colorado.
That's right.
So I'm really hoping that he's listening, because I would love to contact him again. I've seen him a few times in my life. I mean, the Lord used him to save everything, mind, body, soul, and spirit, and my heart. And so I would like him to know that I'm still with the Lord. I never turned my back on him, not once. So I'm sure he'd be happy, because he kept stressing to me, never turn your back on God, never, never. You know, if you think you are, you go back to the Bible, you get on your knees, you stay in prayer, and you do whatever it takes to stay focused on the Lord. You know, I never forgot that. Of all the years I've been saved, you know, I never forgot his words.
Yeah.
And I listened to him, and I took it to heart. Because I did not want to go back where I was, because I was so happy where I was at that time now. And I'm still happy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but even if you go, and I understand that if a person does walk away from the Lord, it's okay. you can go back to him at any time. All you have to do is ask, right? Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find. So the Lord wants that person to back with him. And just all you have to do is ask for forgiveness and, you know, dust yourself off and start opening your Bible and praying and walking with the Lord again.
Yeah, he never leaves us, that's for sure.
No, he doesn't. No.
Well, Joanne, thank you so much for taking this time and sharing with us. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. And God bless you and your audience.
Thank you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Redemption right here on Radio 323. Join us every Sunday at 7 for stories of victory through Jesus Christ. And remember, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. Join us again next week right here on Radio323.com.
He gave us all he had to give, so that we could truly live. So let's give all we have to him, so that we can be completely free. Thorns on his brow, as they drove the nails into his hands and his feet, he looked past the moment to where we are now, and gave us the victory from what seemed his defeat. He said, here's my body, broken in two. Here is my blood, let it cover you. All that I have is now yours to receive. Payment is